Thursday, the 21st of June, Rabbi Moshe Flumenbaum, the Halachas of Mezuzah.
If you ask any child, what is the mitzvah in the Torah that gives you a schar that you would have Arichas Yamis? So they will answer you, V'dai ki ba'ava'en. And you say, give me another one. This is Shiluach HaKan. And give me another one. And they'll fumble. You mean there's a third? And most people like look at that and they understand that Shiluach HaKan, you have a famous Maisa. Kiba Avaim, famous Maises. Pasuk Mefarsh in the Torah, Hilchos Mezuzah, they forget about that one. Mezuzah happens to be one of the unique mitzvahs in the Torah, in as much as it's basically a passive mitzvah. You have the mitzvah every day, every minute, it's on the wall. Sometimes people pay attention that it's even there when they go through a doorway, sometimes not. But it's still a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that if you walk into the home, you're covered by this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah if you buy a home that has mezuzahs on it. By the way, the chov is chov sadar, which means that the person who lives there has the responsibility to make sure the mezuzah is kosher. So if you have a rental property that you rent out to somebody, you are not obligated to see that your tenant has a kosher mezuzah. He is obligated to make sure that there's a mezuzah there. Now, the schar of mezuzah, the concept of mezuzah, is a little bit hard for us sometimes to understand. There was a goy who came over to buy a property and said the tenai that this person wanted was that you had to leave the mezuzah on the front door. It's amazing. Sometimes you have a goy comes over to teach you something. He says, why? He says, because this is your protection. This is your what guards you. You mamish, if you look at it, you think it's the agadah of Unkelis when he went over to explain, you know, this is what the Rabbanu Shalom does. He protects us. This is my shomrim, not your Roman legion. The mezuzah, in order to function as the mitzvah of mezuzah, has to meet various criteria. The mezuzah has to be written properly. The mezuzah has to be put up in the proper location and in the proper fashion. Just like anything else, if you don't follow the instructions, it doesn't work. And the joke is always said, yes, he took out the instructions before he put them up, so he knew how to do it with the first one. And actually, I once got in a mezuzah to check that had instructions still in the box. But true story, I still kept those instructions. Mezuzahs, let's start off with a certain criterion. Mezuzahs contain the first two parshas of Shema. They are mitzvah min haTorah. They do not have the words Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Soli Olam Va'ed inside. And that, by the way, has been found. The mezuzah must be put in up to down. It must be rolled from the end to the front. So when you open it, the first word you will see is the word Shema. The writing on the back, the Shem Shakai and the Muksus, the Ksuvim Muksus, which is Alpi Kabbalah, are not Ma'akiv. And there are those that still to this day have a Masor not to put it on. Very, very rare. But, you know, if you know the Masor, then there is such a Masor. Mezuzah should be wrapped up twice. And I'll explain later on. It has to be fixed firmly. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch bring down mezmerinotam. Now, mezmerinotam doesn't necessarily mean physically you need nails to it. You can use screws, which is what I recommend. You can fix it up in a way that's going to be permanent. All of these criteria have to be fit. Because if you don't put it in the right fashion, then basically you succeeded in not to do what your goal was, and that was to put up a kosher and have a kosher mezuzah in the place. Let's review simple halachas. Halacha number one, where does the mezuzah go? The correct place is on a door frame, which has a mashko. It has a side post on the right side. If it doesn't have it on the left side, as you walk in, it is not it is irrelevant. We're only concerned really with the right side and with the top lintel. So in reality, we have a right angle, which doesn't have to be a total angle, because you can have doors on slants that are high of the mezuzahs, or an arch. Minatora, a doorway that needs a mezuzah, has a door. So if you have a door frame, but you don't have a door there, it still needs a mezuzah. You have an arch, it still has a mezuzah, but it's a derabbanan, not a deraisa. We'll get into that in a few minutes when we have to deal with brachas on it. The correct place is the lowest part of the upper third. Okay? Repeat that. Divide the door frame. Let's say it's 2 meters 10 centimeters. That comes out to be a very tall door, by the way. That's taller than that door there. Okay? Lowest third, go down 70. You're now at a meter 40. That's this high. That means it's very low. Basically, if you're someone about 5'5", 5'6", you're basically, if you put it up eye level and everybody says it's very low, that's the correct place. That's the ideal place. The other place, location of it, is the furthest part or the closest part to the entranceway. Meaning if you have a door frame that the nice beautiful frame that the builder put in is 10 inches wide, and at that point you have the door. So you have 10 inches and then a door, the correct place is the first inch of that frame. Not in the middle, not all the way. Are you Yosei? Yes. But the correct place is to have it at the beginning of your home. In fact, there's a machlokes, if you're Yose, according to some Rishonim, if there was no place in the front of the doorway, if you put it on the inside of the door, there's a machlokes Rishonim, if you're even Yose. We paskin halacha l'maisa, you are Yose. However, that's the significance, is to put it not in the decorative location, but in the proper location. A mezuzah has to be put up properly. What's proper? Proper is to make sure, A, it should be within two covers. Now, these covers have a reason to them. First of all, we just said, Shevin Shakai is on the outside. Therefore, you have a problem with sneis, with people who come around. And we're even talking little children in our own homes. A double covering, just with an Aron Kodesh, just like anything else that has Shem Mefarsh on it, should be covered at all times. Now, those coverings should also be used as a shmirah to the mezuzah itself. Certain materials are very good to prepare it with. Certain materials cause damage to a mezuzah. The cover that you pick and the way it's wrapped, and even if it's done by a sofa or a store owner, can actually damage and take away from the longevity of the parchment and the ink. Remember, mezuzahs are natural materials. They're written on parchment, that's a halacha moshe mesina. The ink has to be black, which is a halacha moshe mesina. The ink is water soluble, made with ingredients that include tannic acid and ferrous sulfite. In other words, after a period of time, humidity will cause it to fade out and rust. The halacha is that one must check mezuzahs twice in 7 years. For Mayim b'shemitah, it does not mean the sixth and the seventh year, or the first and the seventh year. It means every fourth year. What I try to advise people is to lock on to the Shemitah cycle, know which year you're in, because Shemitah always works out that way, and within that four-year bang, you know, I check my mezuzahs every time it's Meiser Sheni, that's when my mezuzahs are done. Meiser Sheni, this. Meiser Oni, this. And that's a good way of doing it. The other thing, there's no busha in writing on your refrigerator, mezuzahs need to be checked. Don't write when I had them checked. Write when they need to be checked. Always be positive, because you have to go ahead to do it. A mezuzah, because it's natural materials, is affected by weather and by conditions. UK is occasionally damp. Therefore, you need covers that protect it against humidity. Mezuzahs in Florida will be very different than mezuzahs in Arizona in the United States. Netanya versus Arad in Eretz Yisrael. Because of the extreme weather conditions, one prepares it differently. Mezuzahs are exposed to sun. If you put it into a glass container, the heat, like that, you know, all of us took a little piece of glass or a magnifying glass and didn't make the fire, you know, with that, well, that happens to the mezuzah. The mezuzah will dry out and cook. So that's one of the explanations why mezuzahs technically have to be checked. But you want to protect it in the best way. Things like cling film are actually the worst material you could ever put on a mezuzah. Everybody cringes now. The reason why cling film is so terrible for mezuzahs, it holds in moisture, but it doesn't stop condensation. So when there's condensation because of the weather change with the humidity, the condensation will go through the cling film, get into the parchment, which is highly absorbent, and then it can't get out. It's stuck. And the mezuzah will rot. Literally, black mold will appear on it, and that'll be it. And there's a collection of mezuzahs I've been collecting here on this trip with dried out and frigid because they've been baked, and those on the other hand that are sobbing and wet because it rained the other day, so people brought me in their outside mezuzahs that were soaking wet. And how did it get wet like that? Rain. What kind of covers do you put out there? They're covers that are made that are weather resistant, that are water resistant, that are heat resistant. All you have to do is make sure that you ask for them and realize sometimes the people selling them have their criterias of what's available and what they get their best deal on. So you have to understand. For instance, a little side note. A wooden cover with a metal bottom seal on that. Very good, right? Do you know what happens to metal when in the summer, in the heat? It expands. Very slightly. Alright? Now what happens in the winter? It contracts. What happens to wood when you put in metal to expand? It's the opening of it opens because the metal is stronger than the wood and it stretches the wood out a little bit. Now comes the winter and you have the metal contracts and that 1 millimeter, the bottom of the cork falls out. The whole thing falls out. Well, that was holding the mezuzah into the place. You don't even realize it because you're walking every day and you're kissing the mezuzah and you don't pay attention to it, but it no longer has the metal screw in the bottom. And the metal screw is long gone, the mezuzah is long gone, and when you come to check the mezuzah 3 years later or so, you just realize that you have, how did I get an empty mezuzah? Who stole my cover? And that happens. So one, there are various covers that you would look for that promote good health of your mezuzah. Putting them up is a challenge sometimes. That door is a sliding door. Everybody says, where do you put the mezuzah up on a sliding door? Because many sliding doors don't have any additional frame. They're built exactly to the side. But sliding doors have this interesting phenomena. There are two doors. If you look inside there, the first door, which is closer to us, is a full door. It closes all the way in. But the second door on the very bottom has a little teeny jamb to it, because it can't close all the way in, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to open and close the doors. Which means you have about a centimeter or three space in the second channel of the door, which is directly in the door frame. Can't get much better than that, right? So if you put the mezuzah slightly into that door frame, in the second channel, even though it's outside, right, it's in the direct door frame, it's going to be protected because the little channel itself has extra space, and it's in the right place and won't get damaged. On the other hand, had you put it on the outer side of the door, meaning the face of the door, it's not within the mashkof of the door. It isn't within the mashkof of the door, it's in the wrong location. What's the question? Go ahead.
I'm not following.
Okay. Okay. Just say it one more. So you put it, it's a permanent door? They're both open. But they're hinged. Okay, if you look at the hinge part of it, if it's a hinge door, the hinge has to have a place for the door. Correct? Because there has to be a place for it. Put it on the inside where the hinge is. It's aluminum. The aluminum has a channel in the design of the aluminum, because otherwise the door wouldn't work structurally. So you can put the mezuzah there. If they're sliding doors, you put it in the channel of the door, which is it within the mashkof. If it's a permanent window, let's say only one of them slides, the permanent glass has a din of a wall. And therefore, you put it on the side on that permanent glass. Because a glass wall is, as far as we're concerned, the same as a wooden wall or a brick wall. It doesn't make a difference. It's a wall. So you'd be able to put it on that mashkof, which is the wall that juts out. The way we put it up ideally has to have ability that we cannot just yank it off. If I can come over to a place and go like this, boom, just rip it off with my hand, I'm not the strongest fellow. That means it hasn't been put up in a permanent fashion. If you put it up with nails, you can't just pull it out. If you put it up with screws, you can't pull it out. If you put it up with mounting tape, now careful what I just said, mounting tape, you will not be able to just pull it out. If I put it up with masking tape, scotch tape, blue tack, if I put it up with other regular exterior tapes, I can basically, after a couple of days, wiggle it around, and if it's wiggable, that means it's not put up properly. Just like if you put up a mezuzah with one nail only, it's not good. The same thing, if it wiggles around, that means that it's not fixed with a din of mazmarino tongue, that it's not permanent. Why did I put out mounting tape separately? Mounting tape, which is that thicker double-sided tape, is designed not to come off. Meaning, to remove that mezuzah later on, you're going to basically need some type of knife to cut it off on. So it's affixed, or if you glued it on or siliconed it on. Many times people say, I have an exterior mezuzah location that's highest, and I can't really put it on, and it's textured, it's stucco or something like that. So how do you put it on? So you go over and you get silicone, and you go flip and put it in, and then if you want to make a nice job, you just take one of those razor knives and cut around it and just pull off the extra silicone about 4 or 5 hours later on. But you can glue it on as long as the glue is there. By the way, the crazy glue, super glue, instant glues, those glues in terms of mezuzahs very rarely hold a mezuzah very well. Rubber cement glue works very well, but you have to work with rubber cement glue, which means you put it on both sides, you pull it off, let the glue dry for about 4 hours, then you put it on, you won't get it off again. But if you try just putting it on, it won't work. Also, it doesn't dry properly. So sometimes when you put it on, you have to make sure the criteria of the follow instructions of the glue people. When you put on a mezuzah, you should always have in mind that you're going to have to take it off to check. Which means the following. Not only to take it to check, but also when you paint your home. A mezuzah, when you're doing shiputzim in a house, when you're doing renovations, if you are renovating and the mezuzah could get damaged, then you are putter from putting up the mezuzah. There are those who hold it says you're not even allowed to put up the mezuzah because it's the comment that the mezuzah would be innocent. On a side note, if you are doing renovations and they are replacing a door, make sure that the guy doesn't walk away with your mezuzah. I had it in Edgewood with a Rav, and I said to him, Rabbi Plony, you paskin according to this machlekes? You know, to the Hazanish, not to the Chibino Rav? He says, no, I paskin to the Chibino Rav. On, you know, that I go to a garden, an enclosed garden, I put the mezuzah on the right side, out to the garden, which is the sheet of the Chibino Rav, the way I naturally would walk, as opposed to the Hazanish, which would go to the bigger room in the house. And he says, no, why paskin this way? So I said, so where's your mezuzah? He says, did I make it paskin the other way? And we went outside into his courtyard, you know, his garden there, and lo and behold, there's no mezuzah there too. And he goes, oh, habluch. He said, after Sukkot, I had the door replaced. And lo and behold, the guy took the mezuzah. And I didn't even realize, because I never go out in all winter. I don't go out this way. I only go out there for Sukkot. And no mezuzah. So here he was, you know, this is Lag BaOmer time, and you know, since Sukkot, he hasn't really been out. And he had no mezuzah on this. So always be careful when they do renovations, note which doors they're going to work on, and take them off. When your house is being painted, it's the perfect opportunity to get your mezuzahs checked. If it's 6 months earlier, you know, or 3 months later, that's nishka ferlich. But it's the, if you know you're planning to do renovations at a given time, that's the time. Anyhow, you don't want them to damage it. Use the opportunity. Why should they just sit in the drawer? The mitzvah mezuzah is ideally even more chamur than tefillin in terms of checking it. Ideally, you want to get it checked in the morning and get it up the same day. You want to have it so that you don't fall into even a suffix of a lila without a mezuzah on your house. Now, what is a zmanim of mezuzahs? A zmanim mezuzah. If you rent in Chutz Laaretz, you have 30 days. If you rent in Eretz Yisrael, you have the day to get it up. If you purchase in Eretz Yisrael, you have the day to get it up. If you purchase in Chutz Laaretz, you have the day to get it up. Those who think they have a carte blanche 30-day right is that. If you sell your house to a goy, you are obligated to take off the mezuzahs. If you rent a place and you have no idea in a place that is mukzach goyim, you are allowed to take off your mezuzahs. If you know a Jew is going into the rental after you, you are not allowed to take it off. If you know that you are selling it to another Jew, you are not allowed to take off the mezuzahs. There's all kinds of things. You can charge him for it. There's a din Sofen Aruch in Hoshin Mishpat saying that you're allowed to have a, you know, a line in the figure of expenses, you know, mezuzah costs. He is allowed to take them off of you. There is an Agadita in all of Shulchan Aruch. It's one. It's the klalot for a person who takes off a mezuzah on a house that a Jew is going to be living in. When you take and you put up the mezuzahs, I recommend always using screws, by the way, not nails. Screws have this wonderful phenomenon of being able to be put on and being able to take off. When you take a mezuzah off using a nail, you risk sometimes breaking the cover. If you break the cover, Aleph is chaval on the cover. But B, sometimes if it's plastic, or if it's glass, or if it's porcelain, that can cut the parchment in and of itself. And you don't want to ruin the mezuzah over a stupid little nail. The other thing is that nails have this tendency of banging the cover with it, which A, not only means you could hurt your fingers, but it means that you can go ahead and also crack the cover and damage the mezuzah going in. Glass mezuzahs are not necessarily advised. Glass breaks. The worst mezuzah, and a nichshol according to many poskim, but shitas agrah, are those glass tubes, you know, the ones that they sell with the olive wood on the top, or the wood on the top and the bottom, that spin around. The mezuzah has to be firmly fixed onto the wall. If the mezuzah is spinning around, according to the shitas agrah, you're not yotze, because it's a way. If there's an air level in between them, if it's not connected, it's a problem. Now, you can fix it by filling that area in. Take silicone tube and squirt it in between so the mezuzah doesn't turn around anymore. You can do all of that. Or you can just buy a cover that sits flat onto the wall and avoid the whole issue. You have a question? What we try to do when you check mezuzahs is the following. I advise taking each mezuzah out. If you cannot take that out of the cover, leave it. Supposedly the person who's qualified to check it has the proper tools to take it out. If need be, sometimes you put it into a vise and with a hacksaw and you carefully cut the mezuzah out of the cover. That happens a lot when they're painted over. I recommend you A, put everything in a used envelope, one mezuzah, write the location. Put it back. Why? So you put it back in the same location, so you have the same kedusha to it. I recommend putting it in a paper envelope for convenience of the examiner. Why? Because when I get it, and if there's any notes that I want to write down on it, for instance, this mezuzah was damaged by sun, water. It is an old mezuzah that's showing signs of aging. Right? This mezuzah required various types of repair. This mezuzah, don't know why, here I have Ashkenazic, but you have a Sephardi mezuzah here. I have a piece of paper on the note that isn't going to get lost, that isn't going to get separated, that I put it back. The other thing is you have no shayla of a bracha if you're putting it back within 24 hours. Bracha, ideally you want to have the mezuzah back so you sleep in your house with the mezuzah. If you check it in the morning, have it up at night, even if it's at midnight, and put it up, no bracha, as long as you're not mixing it up. You don't even come into a suffix bracha. If you mix them up, you get into the suffix. Was it from here? Was it from there? If you write where they're from, and you know if the location that you have to replace them is, you'll know if it's a location that's high of a bracha or not high of a bracha. This way you don't have any suffix. You have all the information can be recorded in front of you. And it's worth doing that way in order to avoid the problems. If there are any questions, just interrupt. But the idea is just to make life very simple on it. Tefillin, you can go ahead and borrow tefillin the next day, but mezuzahs, ideally, you don't want sitting by the stove for 3-4 days until it gets around doing it. You want to arrange it so it's done, it's checked, it's in, it's out. Go ahead.
I've heard it said that once you know your mezuzah are kosher when you started, then you can check them yourself.
Are you healthy? Mosul Shev. Are you able, you have the need for a doctor?
On occasion.
Why? You were healthy. You had a husband.
No, what I mean is...
What are you checking? You're checking for nifsakim?
If you've got mezuzah, you know when you bought it with kosher, given it's told you that's unreliable. You need to check it, you look through it, is anything missing? If there's nothing missing, no crack, no anything, then it's in the same condition as well when you got it. And you can see when you got Shiloh whether it's absolutely okay.
My question for you is, you go for an examination to an expert. Yeah, but wait, listen to me. Because you know that this person is going to catch things that I don't understand. Right? What's the difference between a sofer and an examiner? An examiner has a different training than a sofer who's a writer. He's looking for all the shilas. Give you an example. You will see a test. It's a test. Everybody sees it's a test. It totally looks like a test. It was a test when it was written, and everybody's mind it was a test when it was written. But the ink is chalash, and there's no longer a ksitas a test. I can read it as a test, Every tinek will read it as a test, but there's no kedushas a test. There's no kusar shoyur. There's no tag elyon. There's a nifsak that your eye, which is an ayin beinoni, doesn't see. Therefore, you're trained. First of all, you don't even Stama Balabas doesn't know what he's looking at in terms of halachic points. It's just like whatever your business is, whether you're a solicitor writing a legal letter, and the nuances of what you word it have tremendous difference, or whether you're an engineer and the difference between between the electrician putting in 1.5 gauge or 2.5 gauge, or a 32 ampere versus a 40 ampere fuse, like to you and I, has very little naskamina. But for that person who's putting in wiring your stove, you want to make sure he puts in what's supposed to be there and what he's looking for. It is a misnomer that a Bala boss can go ahead and check it, as much as if I give you a medical report on blood work, and even though it's in a color chart and it's going to flow here and there, you have no idea what it means. You can show a false positive blood work on glucose because you had a yogurt the night before, and even though you fasted because it just takes that time to break down, that we see sometimes things that we don't understand. So you're missing the point. That's why you go to the expert on that. That's one of the reasons, by the way, the point of the sofer versus the magia is a different occupation. It is not the same. The sofer, when he learns, whether it be a Mishmeres Stam certified sofer or what, is trained to write. He is not trained to check. Don't also make the false impression that every sofer knows the exact location of where Meziza is supposed to go. Hilkos Meziza, while it's in there, is not what the sofer tends to concentrate and learn on. The other thing is, don't assume the Rav necessarily dealt with this all the time. Because many Rabbanim, very frankly, that's not an area that they were trained in. They never took Shimushit. And if you notice, some of the examples I mentioned are very technical in terms of how the door is to be put up and what to do. One common note: aluminum frame doors, self-closing. Metal gate, self-closing. No place to put it on because the door closes on it. There is no additional frame, right? How do you be mitzpater the problem? 100% glatt. You take a simple little piece of angle aluminum, one half inch by one half inch square. You put it on the top, you put it on the side, you either put in a couple of screws, a couple of rivets, glue it with silicone, and you've now extended the frame, the right side and over the top. Now you put the mezuzah into that Z angle. So this is hard to have these things here. You form this here and you end up just putting mezuzah on the inside. You've extended the door frame, you've made gotten rid of all shilas, your yosei glass. There are many times that if you have a question, there are places that you can go ahead. I mean, I get on average about 200 photos emailed to me a week at this point of how to put up a mezuzah from around the world. Well, that's exactly what you need to do. Sometimes today with digital pictures, you get 15 pictures of one door frame before you figure out how to properly put it up. It's not a busha to ask, lehetzer. It's a skus to ask. So we should be, all have arichas yamim from the skus of the mitzvah of mezuzah.